This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about state-mandated services for victims of crime of injury or threat of injury. And this is something that anyone throughout the state of California who may be listening to this program, hopefully, if you are a victim or if someone close to you has been a victim and you have been adversely affected, we're going to be talking about things that will be relevant to you. My guests are Jeanette Ritchie and Joanna Arteaga. They're victim advocates in the Victim Services Office of the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office, where I have been a deputy DA for about 30 years, believe it or not. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights and for all of the segments of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And Jeanette and Joanna, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
It's wonderful to have you here. Tell us something about, as victim advocates, what you do, Jeanette, please.
Well, basically, whenever anyone's been a victim of a violent crime, and violent crime for our program is defined as somebody who has been injured or threatened with injury, we can assist that person with getting counseling or other resources that may be valuable to them. We go to court with them if their intern is going to be a criminal case, and just are there as support to keep them updated throughout the whole process? Because I think Joanna would agree. I mean, when you become a victim of a crime, it's not something common. And when it happens, it's scary. It's scary. Yeah.
Most of these victim services offices are in district attorney's offices throughout the state. Is that right?
Yes. The majority are housed in the district attorney's office, as we are. I think it's about five or six now that are housed under probation departments. Mm-hmm. And then there's, I think it's down to two now that are under nonprofits. Mm-hmm. But generally, most are in the district attorney's office, which I think is very important because we're right there for the whole process.
You have to be careful, I presume, when you have a victim of a crime come in to meet with you to try to avoid going into the facts of the crime. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yes. And why is that?
Well, essentially, we want to be there for the victim as support. Yeah. I like to say as a liaison throughout the process. Some people have even described it as a tour guide for the court process. Mm-hmm. And we want the victim to be able to trust us and feel comfortable talking to us. And we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where now they're talking to us about facts of the case or additional facts that maybe weren't reported. And now we can possibly be subpoenaed.
Well, what if a victim says to you, Joanna, let me throw this to you. What if a victim says to you, oh, by the way, during the course of your initial interview with this person, because you're in the South San Francisco office of the DA's office, whereas Jeanette is in Redwood City.
Yes.
Okay, so the victim comes, you have an initial consultation with the victim coming in to you, mm-hmm. and the victim says, you know, I forgot to tell the investigative officer this. How do you deal with something like that?
I say, well, let's not talk about it right now. Let's see if we can have you talk to the investigator, the detective, whoever is in charge of the investigation at this time. If there's a criminal case active, I talk to the district attorney too. So all the players on the investigation mm-hmm. have a heads up. And I also give the disclosure, I do not know the details, but this is what they said. They said they forgot something else.
Yes.
I don't know if it's relevant or not, but
the reason you do that is because you don't want to be in a position that you could be subpoenaed to come into court and testify.
Correct, because if we're the support person, but we can't sit down with them in court, or we at one point have to limit our conversations with them, then, you know, our job is impacted.
Yes. Okay. So the what percentage, if you would, what percentage of victims have been victims of domestic violence in your office, would you say, roughly?
I mean, exact numbers is
not exact numbers. Just roughly. Just roughly.
I mean, for me, I feel like it's definitely the most. So
the most.
I'd say 60% easily are domestic violence cases, for sure.
Statewide, do you have any idea what that might be, the domestic violence in other offices throughout the state? Do you have any idea?
It's the same.
It's
the same. Domestic violence, not maybe the same in percentage, but domestic violence is always the highest in the list of the amount of time we take working with victims, the resources that are used to assist them. And keep in mind that because domestic violence is such a complex and pervasive cycle, it goes intergenerational, and a person that has a domestic violence case now might have a domestic violence case in 10 years with a different person.
Don't you find, though, with domestic violence, and I don't mean to make this a domestic violence program, but on this segment of Your Legal Rights, but don't you find a high percentage of the domestic violence victims to be reluctant to really want to, pursue the spouse or partner who's being criminally prosecuted? How do you deal with that, Jeanette?
Well, in our office, we actually have two specialized advocates, domestic violence advocates. So they definitely are there from the get-go. Once the case is filed, they keep the individual up to date on what's happening. And I think, you know, it's safe to say they do their best to, I don't necessarily want to say convince the person, but basically try to talk to them about the trauma and what has happened and how this is a pattern, which I think it's fair to say most domestic violence cases, we see patterns. Mm-hmm. We see the same person come back through. In regards to what we do, we definitely do get domestic violence cases, but we help them apply for this state program, California Victim Compensation Program. So whereas the domestic violence advocates, they're definitely there more for the hand-holding, I guess you could say, and just the process.
And moral support.
Moral support. They definitely interview the victims. They sit in on the court cases. They're definitely there for the victims. We do similar work, but across the board with all violent crimes.
You mentioned the California program.
California Victim Compensation Program.
Program, which will abbreviate CVCP.
CalVCP.
CalVCP. Pardon me. I'm sorry.
That's the acronym of choice nowadays.
Okay. Now, tell us, how does that play? In what respect does that, when there's going to be an application to CalVCP, what does that mean and what is it for?
So, basically, what CalVCP provides, it's a way of victims of violent crime to get out-of-pocket expenses related to the crime covered. So, for example, just imagine yourself when you've had a death in the family or have suffered a car accident or something. There's medical bills in the case of physical injury. If there's death, there's a funeral expenses. There might be trauma that requires specialized counseling. There might be income loss. In the case of domestic violence or cases where the victim knows the perpetrator of the crime and they decide to move, there's some help with some of the relocation expenses. And in the Bay Area, it's hard, and
sure,
it's very minimal what is provided.
So let me, if I may ask you this, with regard to CalVCP, it does include if someone, because of being a victim of a violent crime, domestic violence or whatever it may be, if there is income lost, CalVCP will cover some part of that?
Yes, but keep in mind that this is a state program.
Yes.
So everything has to be supported with the correct documentation required by them. So in the case of victims who are undocumented and don't have a way of proving their income, or maybe they do work,
but it's off the books.
It's off the books. Then it might get them in trouble trying to get income loss. Because CalVCP is what they call payer of last resort, For example, specifically for income loss, if you're injured at the job, you have to go through workers' compensation first. If it gets denied, then CalVCP might step in.
Mm-hmm.
Or disability. Some people are partially disabled or permanently disabled. So CalVCP will require them to try to go that path first, verify that they've been denied or that they don't qualify, and then step in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also important to note, too, because we get a lot of calls where someone will call and say, you know, I was unable to work, but they didn't go to the doctor, or they don't have, because that is a piece that CalVCP requires, is a letter from a doctor stating this person's unable to work from this time period to this time period. And that's very key. If we don't have that, income loss is pretty much off the table.
Let me come back to this. You mentioned undocumented person who may be a victim of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
I take it the law is such in California that although you may be undocumented, you may be here illegally, you still, if you are a victim of a crime, eligible for these kinds of services,
including
CalVCP. Pardon?
This is federal. Every state has this mandate because... People get victimized no matter what. And the money that is actually used to help victims is not tax money. It's money picked up from defendants when they are sentenced, either through general fines. And we're talking about everything, misdemeanors, felonies, violent or not. They have to pay general fines to this to CalVCP. And then in the cases where... Let's say an undocumented person files a claim and gets paid some expenses, and then the perpetrator of the crime is sentenced. Part of their sentence would be to pay back.
That'll be the court will order restitution.
Yes, restitution. Direct restitution to victim compensation.
I see. I see.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note, too, CalVCP, I mean, they pay the provider. They pay the hospital directly. They pay the therapist directly. They don't necessarily just hand out a check to the victim. I mean, yes, there are possibilities of getting reimbursements, but ideally they want to pay that provider directly.
Yes, really? And so, they verify that it's crime-related. And one of the nice things is that they'll negotiate. So, for example, somebody who doesn't have insurance or is underinsured might be charged a lot of money for their medical treatment, but then CalVCP says, you're charging $2,000 for the ambulance, we'll pay $600. And they'll take it, and legally, if they take the payment, it's payment in full.
I see, I see. That's good to know. One other thing that I understand about this, if there is a crime, a violent crime, or the threat of a violent crime, and the police investigate, my understanding is that under California law, the police are required to provide a copy of the report to the victim services offices throughout the state. Obviously, the geographic area where this occurred.
Right. It's definitely the main way we get our referrals.
Yeah.
I mean, when someone's been a victim, the most police agencies have some sort of a card or pamphlet that they do hand to the victim that has our information on it. So sometimes the victims call us before we even get a police report.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, though, yes, the police departments are mandated by penal code to provide us with a copy of this police report. And I think it's important to note, because we're housed within the district attorney's office, a lot of times there's this assumption that the case must be going through the criminal process.
Yes.
Charges must have been
of
filed.
Course.
And that's not the case for this program. For CalVCP, we essentially just need a police report that lists this person as a victim of a violent crime, what they see as a violent crime, which again is either you've been injured or you've been threatened with some sort of injury. And there's definitely other factors. Person must have be cooperative with the investigation. They must not have knowingly put themselves into a dangerous situation where it was foreseeable that they possibly could have been a victim of a crime. But again, it does not have to be prosecuted by the DA's office. We need a police report, and that is a big part of why.
So if if you get, and this is kind of an example of what goes on in the various victim services offices throughout the state, you get a police report. If you do not hear, and the police report identifies who the victim or victims may be, if you do not get a call from the victim or victims, do you, are you required then to seek out that person by calling that person and trying to say, okay, we have the police report. We want to help you. We want to help you get through this trauma that you've been through. I see.
We send a letter. That's usually our first type of correspondence. And it definitely depends on the crime. I think Joanna would agree with me on that. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if it's a homicide or something of a higher nature, then we'll start off with a phone call. A lot of times we hear about things on the news, and we go into work the next day, and we contact the police department. Can you give us the victim's info so we can try and make contact with them?
If there is a homicide, then I presume then family members.
Yes.
May well be the victims of this crime. Is that right?
Yes, because the services from CalVCP are not only for the direct victim of the case or the crime, but also for family members. So, for example, in domestic violence, the children in the household, in the case of a homicide, anybody who is a close family member that is traumatized by the event. There's even a provision now where a minor who has witnessed, but they have to be listed in the police report, witness a violent crime, let's say a shooting, or heard it, and they are documented in the police report, and they are traumatized, they can get counseling. Yes.
But definitely getting back to family members, I mean, immediate family, parents, spouses, children.
Roommates.
Even
roommates, I see.
I had one where it has to be documented, though, that the victim lived with this person.
Yes.
But I had someone one time that applied.
And then we have cases where somebody dies and the children are taken. The adult dies and their children are taken care of by a caregiver. And the caregiver applies so they can go to counseling with the children of the victim that died. So we try, and even if they don't qualify for this, as victim advocates, we looked at alternative services or complementary services where some of the requirements are of CalVCP are not needed, basically.
Okay. All right. I want to let you know that we're going to take some calls in a few minutes. The number is 1-415-841-4134. Sorry, everybody. 1-415-841-4134. We will take some calls in a few minutes if you'd like to call in with your question, your comment, your concern, and we'll do that in just a very few minutes. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on state-mandated services for victims of violent crimes, which are defined as injuries or threat of injury. This is a statewide law or laws that require that there be victim services. Most of the services are conducted by victim advocates in district attorney's offices. There are a few that are not. And so my guests are, and both of them I know fairly well because I've been just a couple of offices down from Jeanette Ritchie. Although my other guest, Joanna Arteaga, is up in South San Francisco, so my office is a little bit different distance from there. They're victim advocates in the Victim Services Office of the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office. Before we go on to some of the other issues, I want to let everybody know, and this is not something that probably anybody's looking forward to, but every year, I do a program on year-end income tax tips for that year's tax return. This would, of course, be 2014, your tax return for 2014. So on October 22nd, if you are interested, we're going to do an on-air program of tax tips to help you in figuring out, can you reduce your taxes for the 2014? We're going to do it that evening, but we're also going to have that evening call a CPA, call Certified Specialist in Tax Tax Law Night, where you can talk to CPAs or tax specialists off the air. And that's the number I want to give you if you get this. Some of you listen to the program delayed, but you're welcome on the evening of Wednesday, October 22nd, between 7 and 8 p.m. California time to call in with your tax question, comment, etc. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 for Call a CPA, Call a Certified Specialist in Tax Law Night. All right, let's talk a little bit more about this. There's, as I understand it, a 3-year statute of limitations if you have been, as you've described, a victim of a crime.
Yes, so how it works is it used to be forever that you had 1 year from the date of the crime to apply if you were a victim as an adult. Mm-hmm. Or 1 year from the date, basically until your 19th birthday, if you were a victim as a minor. And there's some specific cases on the sexual assault arena that have a higher time frame.
That's until age 28.
Age 28, correct. Okay. But starting January 1st of 2013, people can apply up to 3 years from the date of the crime. So even people from before that said, well, it's late, I'm not going to apply, even the people
so
from
that is retroactive?
It's totally retroactive.
Oh,
it's totally retroactive.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
So 3 years from the date of the crime. When you're a minor, you have up to your 21st birthday. And then the part of the sexual assault cases, it's up to the age you turn 28.
Age of 28.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with victims who obviously have been physically assaulted or they have been threatened with injury, maybe not have suffered injury, but they have psychological problems, which mm-hmm. I think probably
yes.
most of the people who you see have some kind of
trauma
that's
yes.
created a psychological problem. How do yes. you deal with someone like that?
Well, we definitely want to encourage them to seek counseling. I mean, you definitely can't force a person into counseling, but we will talk to them about the possible benefits of it, give them resources, agencies
and Cal,
that...
Cal VCP will cover those kinds of expenses?
They can. I mean,
I see.
Again,
you have to make an application.
You have to submit an application. Insurance is a factor. Again, yeah. payer of last resort. But Cal VCP essentially can cover those expenses. So we would definitely want to try to encourage them to seek counseling, whether it's through an agency or a private therapist. We have those resources. That's definitely mm-hmm. something else that we do. Cal VCP is definitely a big part of what we do as victim advocates. But if we become in contact with someone who's been a victim of a violent crime and for whatever reason they don't want to apply for this program, mm-hmm. they're not comfortable mm-hmm. signing on the dotted line, maybe the perpetrator was the father of their children, and being that this program will at some point try to recoup the expenses from that individual, then that victim may not feel comfortable applying. With that said, we can still offer them referrals and resources to other agencies that may mm-hmm. be beneficial to them, mm-hmm. whether it's for counseling. I've had people call me before that don't have medical insurance and they had to go to the hospital because of what happened. So I'll talk to them about county programs that mm-hmm. they could possibly sign up for that may mm-hmm. cover
Help.
Those expenses.
Yeah.
And again, that's just a little piece of what we do. There's also providing court updates. And again, just because they didn't want to apply with Cal VCP doesn't mean they still can't get linked up with us to keep up to date on the court mm-hmm. dates and what to expect and what's going to happen. Court support's a big part of what we do as well, meaning that we'll go to court with them. If they want to just sit in on the hearing or perhaps they're testifying.
Even if they're not cooperative, because we're giving them dignity and respect at the moment. When we're working with victims who are not being cooperative, I always think it doesn't matter if they're being cooperative right now. If I give them dignity and respect, maybe next time they will be cooperative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's important to note, too, they definitely have to let us know, I want to be kept up to
yes.
date.
Yes.
If they don't verbalize that to us. We don't just automatically call people to inform them of what's going on. They need to let us know. I want to be kept in the loop. Please call me. Let me know what's happening with the case. Or
what about little kids who may let's talk about domestic violence for another moment, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. What if there are children, young children, who have seen what one parent has done to the other and have been traumatized? How do you deal with those, obviously, victims?
So CalVCP considers children that have witnessed domestic violence and is documented in the report as direct victims.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the parents don't want to apply, or they're both suspects.
Yes.
Quote unquote victims and suspects. But I encourage them to apply for their children. And even if it's not through CalVCP, we talked about their insurance. A lot of what I do is coaching them in accessing services. And keep in mind that even if they apply to CalVCP, that's the first step. If the claim is allowed by CalVCP, it's open for life. So they don't have to use any of their resources right now. They can use them in the future. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage that, because people go through their trauma at different states. There's no right way. There's no real...
Right. 2 years could pass and they suddenly are noticing that the effects of what happened to them is coming up again, whether it's, they moved or now the court case is actually happening. All these continuances. And, I think any of us that work in the courthouse know that's a given, and a case can go on for years. And now they're having to testify. And suddenly they're like, I need counseling. This is affecting
but
me
as
all
long
over again.
As the victim is an adult, that person must come forward to ask for services for victims within that 3-year period from the crime.
Yes. Or at least apply.
At least apply. You got to have something on something on the record, something in writing.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes. Yes. Because again, once
is an example statewide.
Yes, statewide. Very important. And this is across the board. Every county has victim services. Some counties actually call them victim witness centers. That again is a term from CalVCP. We refer to our unit as victim services, but again, across the state.
If you go online to CalVCP, just Google California Victim Compensation, there's a list of every phone number for each county.
Throughout the state?
Throughout the state,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
So if you Google CalVCP, you'll be able to find out what the phone number is in your geographic area.
And just information in general.
Yes.
All right. It is just about 7:28, right on the dot. Wow. All right. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on state-mandated services for victims of crimes involving actual injury or threat of injury. I'd like to invite you, if you have been a victim of a crime, or you're someone who, let's say, is concerned about a victim of a crime, please join us with your question, your comment, your concern. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. I'd like to let you know, if you've tuned in a little bit late, my guests, who are victim advocates in the Victim Services Office of the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office, are Joanna Arteaga.
Yes.
And Jeanette Ritchie. They are victim advocates, and they're very experienced in this. So if you have a question, a comment, or a concern, I know it's probably very difficult for you, if you are someone who is concerned about a victim, it's a difficult thing to make that call, but please use a phony name if you like, and we'll do the best we can to try to give you some direction. So again, 1-415-841-4134, and we'll start with Michael. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for the call. I just wanted to call and give props to the San Francisco Police Department. I was a victim of a crime about 4 years ago. While we were waiting for the ambulance to arrive, one of the officers informed me about the program and mentioned that I should contact them at some point in my recovery process. And the program, despite the fact that I, at the time, had a stellar insurance policy, had disability insurance, it really kind of prevented me from getting into a financial nightmare. That said, going forward, as a California taxpayer, it's a program that I fully support, and I just really like what you guys are doing.
Yay.
Well, thank you,
thank
Michael,
you for,
so for telling
nice.
Me. How are you now? Are you recovered?
Absolutely recovered.
Good.
And again, I want to give props out to the San Francisco Police Department for letting me know about you guys.
Awesome.
Well, thank you very much
great.
For that. That's great to hear.
We love to hear that. I mean, that's how it should be.
Hey, yeah. That's what makes us go to work yeah. every day.
Michael, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Very, very nice to hear from you. By the way, I want to mention, you know, last week we did a program on scams and identity theft, a little bit on identity theft. I want to let you know that one of the people in my office, or that I'm a member of the San Mateo County DA's office, and that's San Mateo County Deputy District Attorney Peter Lynch, on Thursday, October 9th, and that is going to be a week from tomorrow, he's going to be doing a presentation on identity theft. Peter is particularly... charismatic.
Yes,
let's put
yes,
it that way.
Yes, he is.
He does a great
Very
job.
Very knowledgeable.
Yeah, he does a great job. He's actually our the guy in my office who trains us in various areas of the law. And so he'll be doing that at the San Mateo County Law Library in Redwood City across the street from the Hall of Justice. It'll be Thursday, noon, October 9th. And he'll talk about... how you can identify how theft occurs, how to protect yourself, and ways to determine if you're a victim and what to do. You're invited. It's free. You can bring your bag lunch, if you'd like, to the Law Library, which is at 710 Hamilton Street. And that's at noon. It'll be about an hour, and Peter will stick around, he'll be there to answer your questions, so there'll be no rush. If you would like to find out more information, the Law Library phone number is 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913, again, for identity theft on Thursday, October 9th at noon with Deputy DA Peter Lynch. Okay, we have now, I know there were some other people who had called, I guess they they called and they hung up. So I want to encourage you, by the way, if you have a question involving victims' rights with regard to a crime, and or if you're someone who is concerned about someone who's been a victim of a crime and you have questions or comments or something that you'd like to share, the number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. What are some of the things that you both have found that have presented difficulties for let's say victims of crimes, things that people are you talked about some people being reluctant and DV. What are some of the other things that you have found that are causing let's say victims to not want to be let's say as accepting as involved
yes.
with receiving these kinds of services.
Well, I feel that if it's a case that's being prosecuted, a lot of victims get very discouraged and frustrated with the court process. I mean,
yes.
we do, and we're a
because,
part of it.
Because it takes so long, is it, that what you're
yes,
saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think, you know, when you're not used to it, and now yeah. you're thrown into it, it's hard for people to understand that you go to court one day for an arraignment or a prelim, and for whatever reason, it's now being continued
a
6 weeks
A prelim is
out.
What, for those who are not familiar?
I'm sorry, a preliminary right. hearing. Preliminary
what
hearing.
What does that mean?
As I describe it to victims, I always say, think of it as a poker game, and it's where the DA is going to go in. They're not going to put all their cards on the table, but they're going to present a little bit of what they have.
I like your one.
That's my analogy. So they're going to present a little bit of what they have. Oftentimes, uh-huh. victims may have to testify at this preliminary
hearing. It's a court hearing where you're put under oath.
Yes.
There's a judge there.
Yes, there's no jury.
There's no jury.
No jury.
It's not a trial, but it's kind of a like it's kind of like a rehearsal.
Yeah, to some degree.
A mini rehearsal.
Mini rehearsal where, again, as I like to put it, not everything is put out on the table, but a good piece of evidence, if you will, in regards to the case. If victims have to testify at these, we go with them and we'll prepare them. So it can be very frustrating and stressful for a victim who knows that they're going to have to testify at a preliminary hearing.
And see the person that committed the crime against them. That is huge.
Right. And they've built themselves up knowing, okay, tomorrow at 8 a.m. I'm going into Redwood City. I'm going to have to face this person and give my testimony. The defense attorney is going to be asking me questions.
I'm missing work. I can't go to school. I can't go to employer to know where I am. I can't go to school. Who's going to take care of my kids?
Whatever the situation. And now they get there. And guess what? For whatever reason,
it's been continued.
It's going to be continued.
Let me ask you this. With all of the trauma that someone has gone through in this, what we're talking about, victim of crimes, and there is a great deal of pressure, emotional stress on people who are not familiar with the court system.
Yes.
Especially when you're reliving this kind of crime.
Yes.
Do you get calls from the victims who want to cooperate, who want to go into court? You don't help them, though, in rehearsing how they're going to testify.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. We will prep them in regards to, as I was just explaining to you, what a preliminary hearing is. We'll explain to them, okay, well, this is what a preliminary hearing is. This is what a pretrial conference is. The basics, an overview, if you will, of the criminal justice system.
And you
system.
Will tell them, I presume, that, by the way, we are happy, I am happy to accompany you be there to support you in the courtroom. I'll be sitting there.
Yes.
I won't say anything. I will not testify. But you tell them.
Oh, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, okay.
And with sexual assault cases, for example, sexual assault victims have a right to have victim advocate or some other support person sit next to them while they testify.
Yes. Yes. Really? And that is courtesy of victim advocacy.
Yeah.
These all came out from victim advocacy.
So that the victim is in the witness box.
Yes.
The judge is either to the right or the left, probably to the right of the victim.
Correct.
On the higher level. The
judge is
higher
of
level.
Of course.
Right, right.
So you would be sitting, I presume, on a chair.
Yes.
To the left of the victim.
Yes. So the jury can see them.
Yeah.
If there's a jury. And
but you do that in a preliminary hearing also?
I personally have never done it in a preliminary hearing.
You have, really? I have.
But certainly in the actual trial with the jury being there.
In sexual assault cases, at least in San Mateo County, they don't tend to bring the victim to testify
to the preliminary hearing.
Yes,
but in other counties, they might.
They do, I see.
So one point that I did want to say that we haven't talked about is, you know, where were the victims through the court process, if there's one, all the way to the end.
Yes.
And then there's victim services within the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, both juvenile side and adult side.
Mm-hmm.
So the victim services don't only extend from the moment of crime until, if there's a prosecution, until the sentencing. It goes beyond.
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 Yes. It's indefinite,
and we connect,
I presume.
We connect that process.
The services are indefinite. Is that correct?
So
I think that's fair to say. I mean,
yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But like Joanna's saying, once a person's been sentenced and let's just assume they do get sent to prison, California Department of Corrections, they have their own victim services unit. So this victim can get linked up with them. They have a form they can fill out so they can be updated upon the release of this individual. If the person were to die in prison, they will keep them linked up with what's going on if they choose that. Some people don't want to know. It's over. It's done with.
Very interesting.
But yes.
Wow. Let me give you our number again. And I want to encourage you. If you have been a victim of a crime, and you have gone through this, maybe it would be very helpful to others if you would give your assessment of what you went through and how helpful it may have been to you. If you are someone who is aware of someone who has been a victim of a crime and you're concerned about that person and what you as an individual, a friend or relative, might be able to do to help that person through the awful trauma of being a victim of crime. If you have a question or a comment or a concern, join us. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Please don't be bashful. And we have Ricardo. Welcome to Your Legal Rights. Ricardo, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I have a question. I was assaulted by three bikers back in 2007.
You're talking about motorcycle bikers?
Yes, motorcycle bikers, yes. Mm-hmm. And I was driving at the time, and
Ricardo, would you turn down your radio? We're getting an echo. Is your radio...
Okay.
Yeah, turn your radio down, if you would.
Okay, I turned it off.
Okay, go ahead.
I drove to the Carquinez Bridge in the hope that I could find a CHP officer there at the toll plaza there. There was no one there that night. When I pulled in, the three bikers got off the bikes and started to beat me up.
Oh, my.
Toll employees at the Carquinez toll plaza were watching the beating taking place outside of the building there. When the bike guy stopped beating me up, I asked the state employees to please call 911. They refused to call. None of them called. They didn't want to be involved.
Wow.
I had to then inch my way up the walkway, rampway, and knock on the door and plead with them to let me in, let me call 911, which is what they did. And a priest came out. I filed a police report. I got a bunch of license plates off of one of the bikes as they were leaving. And when I called the police, the Vallejo Police Department, they had detained all three of bikers with that partial license plate a short time later. They brought them to me. I ID'd one of the three attackers, and he was taken in custody and had a prior conviction. So that was the end of that. But at that time, I refused to take ambulance assistance at the time. But what I discovered about 5 days later was because of the beating, I had caused a blood clot in my left knee area, and that was in 2007. And subsequently, since then, I've been on blood clot regimes and medications and things since that time. The blood clot is still there, but in a lesser form. But I still suffer from it.
Ricardo, let me ask you this: did you apply to the appropriate office for victim services?
I did not know there was such an office available. Number
what a shame.
One, number what a shame. Two, number two. About a week before my court date, there were two young African American men. When I came out of the house with my friend at the time, she was caring for me. I was on crutches at that time.
Oh, my.
And as we had opened up the garage door and were backing the car out of the driveway, out of the garage, up the driveway, two young African-American men, I looked, were just walking off of the driveway and down the sidewalk. And I looked around wondering who they were, and they had left a rock on the driveway. What the rock meant, I don't know, but I took that as a sign from them that these were friends of the
bikers,
three people. That were telling me, giving me a message to not go to court.
Did you go to court, Ricardo?
I did not go to court.
Oh, what a shame.
Aww,
what a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. I want to get some comments from my guests. I'm sorry you did not have a good experience at all in this kind of situation. The reason I'm doing this program is not only because the Victim Services Unit is in the office that I've been involved with for 30 years, the San Mateo County DA's office, but because I think it's terribly important, not only for people in the Bay Area, but throughout California, to know about what is available to them.
Yes.
I thank you for calling. I'm terribly sorry to hear that you had such a terrible experience. Turn your radio back up, and I want to get some comments from my guests here in terms of their thoughts on this. And I hope you recover fully. Although obviously you are still suffering, so turn your radio back up. Thank you very much for calling. What comments do you have for him?
Ricardo is the example of how much trauma can be created not only by the event, but the contact after the event, the availability of law enforcement.
Yes, yes.
And not knowing about the program. Mm-hmm. I do want to say that sometimes victims think they haven't applied, but in the process of that initial trauma, they are filling out so many documents
yes.
at different places,
yes.
they might not know. I would encourage Ricardo to call his local victim witness program and have them verify.
Well, and for Vallejo, it would be Solano County.
Correct.
So
Solano County.
I agree
okay.
with Joanna.
Yes.
I actually got a call from somebody a couple weeks ago wanting to apply.
Yes.
Something happened to her as a minor. She's now an adult,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted to apply for counseling for herself and her sibling. And when I looked them up, there was an active claim for them.
Really?
She was unaware because at the time she was a minor and her guardian had completed an application
for that. Well, if Ricardo
didn't... There is a possibility.
If Ricardo says he didn't know about this at all,
mm-hmm.
was the law at that time also one where the police department that obviously did a report on this?
Not mm-hmm. on that time. So...
I'm sorry. What was your comment there? Come closer to the mic.
So... What you're saying is since he didn't know and the police didn't inform him. So the law that mandates, at least in San Mateo County, is being applied that way for the police to notify in writing.
Your office, for
about
example.
About victim services. That law came into effect 2008, right? Or was passed in 2008?
I'm not sure.
But... Unfortunately, not knowing about the program is not a way of getting qualified now. Regardless, even if he doesn't qualify, maybe Solano County Victim Witness can give him some guidance of services in the community that might help him if he has insurance. Many times people have insurance that covers counseling, but they don't even know how to access it.
Yes.
And it's clear that Ricardo is still having a lot of...
For sure. Of course.
Things coming up because of that, especially
yes.
given the threat and not having gone to court.
Yeah.
That can bring a lot of, how do you call it, feelings that continue on
well,
in your
course.
Life.
Yes.
Just ongoing.
Ongoing. And the last thing we want to see is people allowing this trauma to take over their lives and not allow them to live a full life.
So, in other words... Solano County, the district attorney's office, also has a victim services office. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Do you have a phone number that
yes.
we can give him?
So for Solano, it's 707-784-6844.
Ricardo, again, I hope you have something to write with there, and I'm going to repeat it. For the Solano County DA's office, the victim services office, it's area code 707-784-6844. My guests suggest that you give them a call, see whether or not you actually may have a claim there, or find out if there may be some services that they can direct you to.
Well, and I'd like to note, I mean, we've received calls from people before that have told us, well, no one reached out to us. And then we check our system, and we keep notes of every phone call, every letter
yeah,
that is sent
yeah,
out,
yeah.
and we've checked, and in fact... We did send a letter to the person, but maybe they moved and we didn't know.
Yeah,
and maybe
yeah.
we did try to attempt contact. So unfortunately, that may have been a possibility. And as much as I hate to say it, sometimes cases fall through the cracks. And
yeah.
for whatever reason, it's not forwarded. If it was a CHP case,
yeah.
I know for whatever reason, CHP does not forward reports to us directly because they're not under the same...
oh, that's interesting.
They're not mandated the same way as the rest of law enforcement. So we don't automatically get cases
oh
from
my.
CHP.
Wow.
And if his was a CHP case, I wonder if something similar like that may
well,
have happened.
And, you know, some law enforcement agencies don't have the system to be able to give us reports. Some agencies don't give us reports, yeah. Period.
Oh, that's a shame. Ricardo, though, you called the Solano County DA's office, the Victim Witnesses Services office, and see if they can be of any assistance to you. And good luck to you on this. Pam, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I have a question regarding an acquaintance of mine who was shot in a robbery of his place of employment.
Mm-hmm.
And there has since been a trial of the shooter, the robber, mm-hmm. and there was a conviction. And part of the conviction was actually a judgment against him in the amount of over $300,000
yeah.
to pay for the medical costs mm-hmm. that the victim had incurred.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering is, since I look at this and I think, well, it's really unlikely that he'll ever see any of that money coming from the guy who's now going to be doing time in jail for a long time, because this was a very bad guy. He was involved in apparently a lot of other robberies before this one, where he shot this employee, whom I knew reasonably well. He actually fractured the skull of one of the other employees, pistol whipping him, and I believe actually physically assaulted a female employee, actually, too, trying to get her to take him to where the money was.
Pam, let me ask you this. If your friend who was shot, did your friend apply to the local DA's office, victims services office, or not?
So this is a good question. I honestly don't know that, because it's not one of the things. I mean, the money part of it is not something I ever got into with.
When
this was actually in San Mateo County.
Really? What year? What year do you recall?
So I want to say like 2011, maybe, because or it could have been 2012. The trial was actually this year, and the guilty verdict was this year. And what I'm wondering is there any kind of recourse that someone has when they have this huge judgment against the guy who shot them, but probably no hope of ever recovering that? And meanwhile, you know, the bills keep mounting up. He hasn't been able to return to his former job or to work full time, because his leg was really seriously damaged by that shooting.
Let me get some comments for you on this,
mm-hmm.
because at this point we're starting to get close to the end of the program, and I want to get some comments for you that may be helpful.
Pam, I would suggest having your friend call the DA's office, because the one good thing, if you will, about our program is they can apply it, you know, as long as we're within the 3-year mark. I mean, they can apply at any point. Doesn't matter that the court case is over. I know you mentioned this $300,000 judgment. If that includes medical bills or counseling, follow-up medical bills that your friend has racked up, then he could definitely call and still possibly apply. And Cal VCP could possibly help him with those bills. Now, of course, there's going to be other factors, such as this happened at his place of employment,
mm-hmm.
so workman's comp comes into it.
Yes.
But let's just assume it's straight across the board. There's no other sources that could possibly pick up these
what
bills.
What number should Pam's friend call?
The main line for the Victim Services Unit with the San Mateo County DA's office is 650-599-7482. 7479.
Yeah, right.
7479.
7479?
Yes. And
okay, thank you.
Have him call, because there's a really good possibility that he could still apply. The Cal VCP may possibly cover some of those bills, even if he's already paid some of them. And then what will happen is the restitution order will be amended, and this individual will then have to payback Cal VCP.
Yeah, yeah. So good luck to you, Pam. Do you got the phone number okay?
Yes, I do. Thank you
good.
So
okay,
much.
Okay, Pam.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for calling.
And since the person is in prison, your friend can call victim services within this prison system for guidance on how to collect money for that direct restitution order.
I think, though, at this point, Pam, the best thing is to have her friend call directly to your office.
Absolutely, because like I always tell people, even though restitution's been ordered directly to the victim, they have a much better chance of possibly getting
their bills. If there's a glass and there's no water in it, it's not going to flow.
Exactly, whereas Cal VCP could cover these and...
All right, I'm going to try to take one more call, but let me mention something to you. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, of course, during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you, set you up for a half an hour consultation, and nearly every county in California for half an hour will charge somewhere between $25 to $35. It's a great way to get some basic information. I think we have one more call from Benjamin. Benjamin, can you do it in half a minute?
I'll do my best. I know you're running short on time.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to give a personal experience of mine.
Very quickly, if you would.
I live in Oakland and was assaulted twice in the course of just a couple of years. And at the time, I wasn't working and I didn't have health coverage with any sort of mental health coverage, and needed to really see a psychologist, a therapist, to kind of just talk about what I was going through. And wasn't really aware of the victim's witnesses, but got put in touch with them. So I just wanted to let people know. In my case, I was entitled to 40 sessions with a psychologist, which is not an insignificant amount. I mean, I was able to really kind of work through a lot of the issues I was having. So I just wanted to let people know that service is available, and especially when, in our violent communities, untreated and undiagnosed PTSD is such a huge issue.
Yes,
I think that this could
really
be a benefit to a lot of people. So I just wanted to make people aware of it, and don't hesitate to get in touch. It really can help people out.
Benjamin, thank you very much for that valuable information.
If I may, Benjamin made me think of this when he mentioned living in Oakland. I think I'm thinking of a client I had one time. But the other thing that's great, and again, this goes across the board for the entire state, if somebody was victimized in another county, but they're now living in San Mateo County, for example.
Yes.
They can still come to us and apply.
To your office.
Or look for services.
You can apply for Cal VCP in any county.
I see.
Does not matter if that is where it occurred.
That's wonderful.
So I've often dealt with people where they were victimized in Alameda County, San Francisco, Santa Clara County. But I think that's definitely important to note. Maybe they've relocated to our county and now they need resources or referrals up here. They already have a Cal VCP claim. That has happened as well. Definitely give us a call.
I want to thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you Jeanette Ritchie and Joanna Arteaga, victim advocates in the Victim Services Office of the San Mateo County DA's Office. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll see you tomorrow, Jeanette.
Yes, you will.
Okay. All right. Your Legal Rights production staff members, our program engineer, it's nice to have Debbie Kennedy here. Debbie, thank you so much. And my assistant, Martin McLean, production assistant. Thank you, Martin, very much. Funding of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, we're going to be talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act, the obligation of businesses to accommodate persons of disabilities. My guest will be Steve Schraubman, ADA compliance expert, architect, Martin Orlick, ADA compliance attorney, and Carol Kahn, Director of Public Service Programs, San Francisco Bar Association. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.